I want to die on the battlefield.
Amen.
Amen. Success has many definitions. Depending on who you ask, success, some people say that you're successful if you have a lot of riches and a lot of wealth. Some people say that you have success if you have a lot of accolades behind your name. The most successful person is that satisfied person. That no matter where they are in life, they're content to dwell where God has them. That's success. As I begin praying at the end of the year and asking the Lord to give me some direction for preaching this first month of the year, that's the word that God gave me, was success. And as I began to study it and I began to look, and I believe God used that to direct me to a man in the Word of God by the name of Joshua, because God told him that if he would do certain things, that thou shalt have good success. God told him in Joshua chapter number 1, I don't want you to turn there, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thomas Edison said this about failure. He said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. He said, I've not failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. So often in our lives we give up before success ever comes, and so often in our lives we find ourselves in situations that we think that there's no way out, and we just resolve to be in that state or that condition. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The Bible said, the psalmist said there in Psalms chapter number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm afraid today we as Christians, we are living like we're in a dry, barren land, but God says we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. No matter where you are in life, no matter your age, no matter what condition, and I was thinking about Caleb, and not my Caleb, but Caleb, Joshua's counterpart or cohort, there when they went in to spy the land, and I'm going to preach on Joshua, I'm not going to get on Caleb, but Caleb was 80 years old when Joshua divided the land there in the land of Canaan, and Canaan looked at Joshua and he said, give me that mountain. He said, I don't want that low-lying easy land. He says, I want that challenge. So no matter where you are in life, understand this, you're never too old to challenge yourself, and you're never too old to finally reach success. And this morning as we go, I'm going to, Lord being our helper, we're going to start a study on Joshua. And we're going to see Joshua in Exodus chapter number 17. And understand this, success does not mean a lot of money in the bank. Success does not mean that you have a lot of riches or that you have world recognition. Success means that you have found that position of service in your life, and you have lived it and carried it out to the best of your ability, and you are like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season. But as I said, I'm afraid today we're a lot of Christians, we have no fruit. And Jesus said, abide in me and my words will abide in you, and you shall bring forth much fruit. But understand this morning, let's look and see what the Lord has for us about studying this man by the name of Joshua and see if we can't find some help for it in our life. In Exodus chapter number 17, verses 8 through 16, you'll find that God has just given a picture of the Spirit of God in verses 5 through 7. And you'll find there in verses 5 through 7 that Moses, the people have begun to chide with Moses because they were thirsty. Now remember, they had just experienced the journey of the Red Sea where God departed the Red Sea. They crossed on dry land. They had just experienced the manna from heaven that God said that they said, would to God we'd have died in Egypt where we had leeks and garlics and onions. And God sent down manna, that small wafer the size of hoarfrost that had the taste of coriander seed and the taste of honey. And God gave it to them every morning to provide their need. And then the next thing you find that they begin to complain because they have no water. And they said, man, we're going to die out here of thirst. And then God spoke to Moses and he tells them to go there before the elders of Israel in verse number 5 and take the rod that he was in his hand and go unto the rock there in Horeb in verse number 6 and smite it, and there shall come out their water out of it, and the people may drink. Now this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as being there the rock that was smote. But we also see this as water came out of that rock, we see that that is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said this in John chapter number 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So what we see here is that this was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the water was a type of the Holy Ghost of God. They had just had a great spiritual, happening or miracle in their life. And then let's look in verse number 8 at what happens. We find here these famous words. Brother Lester Roloff preached a message by the title of this, and there's no telling how many times it's been copied or how many times it's been preached, and I'm not preaching that message this morning, but these three words come to play, then came Amalek. Anybody know who Amalek was? Amalek was the son of Esau. If you was here Thursday night and you heard Brother Levi preach that message, and man, what a message it was about Jacob and Esau. The Bible said this about Amalek, and Timnah was the concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. Galatians 4:29 was talking about Jacob and Esau, and it said, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now understand this, child of God, you're in a battle today. This mindset that I've got saved, and that life is going to be easy. And this mindset that I'm going to go to church and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and I'm not going to have any problems and I'm not going to have any battles. This mindset of I'm going to claim it and name it in Jesus' name and therefore nothing's going to touch me, it's not real. The fact of the matter is that as a spiritual being, being born again by the Spirit of God, there is two natures in you. We talked about that in Romans. And we go through the book of Romans. We've just finished up that great chapter there in Romans chapter number 7 on Wednesday night. What I would, that do I not. But what I would not, that's what I do. That I'd find in the law that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. Understand there's a battle between in our lives of spiritual things every moment of every day. Notice here, then came Amalek. Joshua was a successful person, and if you want to be successful in this life, number one, you're going to have to be a good soldier. And I'm going to preach this morning on, Lord, let me be a soldier. Lord, let me be a soldier. A soldier understands that there's a war to be fought. A soldier understands that there's fighting that must take place. Paul wrote to young Timothy and he said, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. I'll be honest with you, war is not for sissies and war is not for fancies. They just ain't got it in them to make it through. I don't know what it's like to be in war physically, but there's some men in here that can probably give you some horror stories. There's some men in here that understands what hardness really is. And we're going to look this morning at some of that, but Paul told Timothy, he says, you must endure hardness as a good soldier. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He said, this charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that which were went on before thee, that by them thou mightest fight a good warfare. We've been through like 2020 and 21, and we start into the year of 2022. Man, maybe God will give us some new things in 2022, and maybe it ain't new variants, but I hate to disappoint you. I read on Fox News or Newsmax one this morning. There's already a new variant out. It's called Deltacron. The Delta variant and the Omicron variant has merged together, and they have found the first Deltacron variant. Okay, guess what? Next week, they're going to find another one, and they're going to keep finding them because this man-made virus that they sent our way, understand, it's trained to keep developing, to keep attacking your immune system. Okay? It's warfare. It's warfare is what it is. Spiritual warfare. Why? Because, why is it spiritual warfare? Because there's souls at stake. Every time a spiritual warfare takes place, a soul is at stake. Think about this. The first spiritual battle that took place was where? In the Garden of Eden. What was it over? Souls. Every spiritual battle is over souls. And you and I are in a spiritual battle. And Paul, Timothy said, I want you to learn some things, and I want to teach you some things, that by them you may be able to fight a good warfare. I have fought many battles spiritually in my life, and too many times I've turned around and left defeated. I don't want to leave defeated anymore. Why? Because I don't have to be. Listen to me. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. Victory was given me when I got born again. I'm no longer a child of the devil. I belong to the King. I'm beloved. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. If I live a defeated life, it's not because of Christ, it's because of me. Now understand this morning, Lord, let me be a soldier. Paul said this to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3, and I'm just laying some spiritual battle things out. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, but through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to understand this morning, and I'm reading, I'm laboring that point so much, is I want you to understand and be mindful that you and I are in a battle every moment of every day of our life. Preacher, why is life so hard? Because you're in a battle. Lord, let me be a soldier, not a sissy. Lord, let me learn to fight. Lord, help me to fight. Lord, help me, Lord, to be a successful soldier. Lord, help me, Lord, not just to fight my battles, but to help others fight their battles too. That's what a soldier does. He has his own personal battles in his life. He has his own personal skirmishes there with the opponent. But as he's fighting there, that one opponent, that one battle that he's in is not just for the sanctity and the safety of his life, but it's for the safety of others that is around them. And guess what? If one falls, that's one less we have fighting with us. That's why we ought to encourage one another and exhort one another and pick them up and carry them on. Because there's going to be some times, and these that have fought wartime, these that have been in war, they can probably tell you how they've had to help others that got wounded in the battle. And the Bible teaches us to do that, that we exhort one another, encourage one another, and lift up and cast our cares upon them. And we might bear one another's burdens, because sometimes they can't bear them alone. Lord, let me be a good soldier. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to Exodus chapter 17, verse number 9. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse number 9 says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out." If you're going to be a good soldier, first thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have a selection of soldiers who you're going to fight with. Listen to me. You're going to have to make a selection of soldiers of who you're going to fight with. Joshua, Moses looked at Joshua and he said, you go choose out men. Choose us out men and go out. You've been given the task. You've been given the choice to be a soldier. Understand this today. When you got saved, you made a choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But understand this. As a Christian living in this world, you must die daily and take up your cross daily and follow Him. And may I say unto you this morning, you better wake up every morning and put your boots on and your helmet on and love that whole armor of God, because you're going out to a battle. And beloved, it's a choice whether or not you're going to fight or you're going to tuck tail and run. You make that choice. And to be successful in this life, you better be ready to fight. You better be ready to fight. Well, I don't want to be a soldier. Guess what? I promise you, and I've heard Brother Bobby share some stories with me, and I thought about him as I studied this message, and he shared some of those stories with me, and those excerpts about Vietnam and what it was like over there. And man, my mind cannot even imagine it. But beloved, I thought about this. There was days he wanted to go home and quit. But guess what? He couldn't. He couldn't. He had to fight. It was life or death. It was a choice. I can go AWOL, be dishonorably discharged, and leave all my friends and fellow laborers behind. Or he says I can get up in the morning and fight for my life and the liberties and the freedoms that God's given me and my fellow soldiers and my family back home. See, Moses looked at Joshua and he said, Joshua, I'm giving you a choice. I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go choose you out some soldiers. You make a choice whether or not you're going to fight in this battle every day. But not only in that choice of being a soldier, that personal choice, the persons of choice. Notice what he said here. Choose us out men. You better be careful who you run with. Moses said, Joshua, you go choose us out men that will go fight. As I was studying this, the Lord began to reveal to my heart, if I'm going to fight, I want to fight with some separated men. You say, what do you mean? The Bible said this, and Paul was wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." You want to realize why Christians are losing so many battles today is because they're not fighting with separated men. They're not fighting with men that has separated themselves unto the Lord. And they're taking those men that are part of the world, has the worldly ideas and the worldly mindsets, and they have some good wisdom and some good knowledge of the things of the world, and then they try to merge it over here with the things of God, and guess what? Oil and water does not mix, and God and the world does not mix. Jesus said this, He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love one and hate the other. Over in the book of Ezra, the children of Israel made an affinity there. They merged together with an enemy. And they never could get the house of God built because of the affinity that they had made. You say, preacher, why am I losing this so many battles in my life? Why, preacher? Because you're fighting with the wrong people. You better be real careful whose your crowd is. He said, Joshua, I want you to choose us out men to go and fight. I can promise you this, Joshua didn't go choose them out that was hiding under the bushel or hiding behind the tree. Amen? Joshua didn't go choose those who was weak. I'm telling you, when I go to battle, I want to go to battle with some men that have separated themselves to the Lord and men that are strong. And that's my next point. And listen, I'm not, they are Christians all over the world this morning, all across the United States of America that have gathered together in the house of God. And thank God we're not the only church. But now listen to me this morning. I'm going to say this. You better be real careful about who you join up with in your life, because you're fighting battles, and if they're not separated under the Lord, they won't fight with you when the battle gets hot. They won't stand with you when the battle gets hot. And they'll turn and they'll tuck tail and they'll run, and guess what? It'll make you run too. You better be real careful about who you choose to fight with. You better get you some people that's separated under the Lord. Not only that, I'm talking about how to have success in your life. Not only that, you need to choose you out men that are separated under the Lord, people who are like-minded of like faith, but you better seek you out some strong men, some mighty like men. You say, what do you mean, some strong men? You don't turn, but go home someday and read 2 Samuel chapter number 23. I was thinking about David's mighty men. If I'm going to war, I want a man like Abishai fighting on my side. The Bible says this, that he lifted up his spear against 300 men and slew them all at one time. That's who I want on my team, amen? I mean, man, I want a man like Benaiah. The Bible says there that he slew two like men from Moab, and then he went down in the pit in the snow and slew a lion with his bare hand. Hey, I want some Abishai and some Benaiah on my side. Amen. I want some people like Eliezer. The Bible says that he slew the Philistines that day till his hand cleaved to the sword, that they had to pry his fingers off the sword, and that he slew that many Philistines that day. That's who I want fighting with me. I want a man like Shammah, who when the people were left, they had Shammah there, there was a bean patch, and the Philistines came down upon the green bean patch there that day, that field of lentil, and they were working there in the field, and they all fled and left because the Philistines came. And the Bible says that Shammah there, he took his sword and he defended the bean patch. I want some men like that. I'm telling you, you better be real careful about who you're fighting with. Who's on your side. He said, choose you out men. You make a choice who you're going to run with. They will influence you. Good or bad. I don't want men. I want strong men, not the selfish. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinner entice thee, consent thou not. Listen to me this morning. All you young people, listen to me. All you older people, listen to me. You better be real careful. You realize that it was Amnon's friend who persuaded him to take his sister Tamar and lay with her. It was Amnon's friend. Amnon was David's son, and he played himself sick, and he fell in love and lusted after his sister. And Amnon, the Bible said, had a friend, and he said, let me tell you what to do. He said, you tell her to come in and feed you. He said, then you can take her. You better be careful of Amnon. I don't want no Amnons fighting with me. Hey, my flesh is so weak. I'm so weak in my flesh. I don't need nobody instructing me, encouraging me to sin. I do enough on my own. Amen. I don't want somebody saying, hey, it'll be okay. Let's do it. I don't want a man like Amnon fighting with me. Amen. I don't want to be in the trenches with somebody like that. I want some Benaiahs. I want some Shammahs. I want some of those mighty men that David had. I don't want somebody that will betray me like Ahithophel did to David. The Bible said that Ahithophel was David's counselor. David, the king, went to Ahithophel, and Ahithophel, God had given him wisdom and counsel, and David would seek counsel from this man by the name of Ahithophel. The Bible says that he was David's counselor. But just as soon as Absalom rose up against David, guess what? Ahithophel changed sides. I don't want somebody to stab me in the back. Life's hard enough. Life's hard enough. You better be real careful. I know about you. You better be real careful of who you're choosing to fight your battles with. And you don't need those that's going to entice you into sin. You don't need those that's going to turn their back on you and walk away. And beloved, you don't need those like Judas who will betray you for something else. 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed the Lord, walked with Him every day for those 3.5 years. You better be real careful who you're fighting with. You better be real careful. I want to be a good soldier, but I want to fight with separated men. And I want to fight with strong men. I don't want to fight with self-willed men. Not only that, the selection of your soldiers, of who you're going to fight with, your personal choice, your persons of choice, but you better be proactive in your submission. I'm talking about how to have success. You need to be proactive in your submission. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go. The Bible says this about Joshua, that he was Moses' minister. First of all, if you're going to fight, be a good soldier, you're going to have to find yourself submitted unto the Creator. I'm talking about how to have success in this life. Submitted unto the Creator. James said this. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. May I say this to you? When you find yourself submitted to God, you don't have a problem submitting to nobody else. You don't have a problem submitting to a boss. The wife don't have a problem submitting to her husband. Church don't have a problem submitting to the pastor. An employee don't have a citizen does not have a problem submitting to the police or the authorities that God's given into their life. When you're submitted unto God, you don't have a problem with submission because you're totally submitted. And James said this, he said, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The problem, one another reason you and I are losing so many battles is because we're not submitted unto God. And when we're not submitted to God, guess what? We can't resist the devil. Amen. You need to find yourself submitted to the Creator. As Dean Bryant shared with me so many times before, and as I've heard him say from the pulpit though so many times, he said he'd get up out of the bed in the morning, as soon as his feet hit the floor, he'd stand up and say, Private Bryant reporting for duty, sir. Whatever you want me to do today, Lord, that's what I'll do. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If any man will take up his cross, let him deny himself. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You're going to have to be submitted to the Creator. Submitted means that you are lined up in rank and under Him, that whatever He says goes. God says, don't do that. You don't do it. God says, do it. You don't. I'm telling you, the problem with our churches today and the problem with Christians, and I'm talking about my own self here this morning, is we're not submitted unto God. And the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But not only are we to be submitted to our Creator, but we're to be submitted to the chairman. Let me back up and say this about Joshua. You say, how do you know that Joshua submitted? Well, first of all, when they got to the River Jordan, God told him exactly how to do it. You know what? And Joshua did it, and they went across on dry ground. Let me tell you what being submitted to God gets you. It gets you miracles. Amen. It gets some miracles in your life. They got to the Jordan River. They can pass Mount Seir many days. And God told Joshua, He said, okay, it's time to go. He told him exactly how to do it. And Joshua looked at the priest and told him exactly what to do. And the river, Jordan River, departed. And the children of Israel went across into the promised land on dry ground because Joshua submitted unto the Lord. Think about it, the walls of Jericho. The commander-in-chief told his captain, he said, this is how you're going to destroy Jericho. You're going to march around that city one time a day for 6 days without saying a word or blowing a trumpet or making any sound. He said, you're going to wake up in the morning. He said, tomorrow morning, y'all are going to march around. The whole crowd is going to march around the walls of Jericho one time. And you're going back to your camp. He said, you're going to do that for 6 days. He said, but on the seventh day, he says, you're going to march around it 7 times. And he says, on the seventh time that you're marching around it that day, he says, you're going to blow the trumpet. And he said, I'm going to make the walls fall flat. Most of us would been like, would be like, okay, Lord, we done it the first day. And then the next day, we're up there, and all the people of Jericho is saying, hey, y'all bunch of dummies, what are y'all doing down there? Who y'all think y'all are? You walking around the wall? I thought, you think you're going to conquer us? And then he's probably throwing rocks at them and pumpkins and everything else. Whatever they can throw off the wall at them. If they had pumpkins back in, I don't know. But that was the second day. And then the third day. And you're going to tell me that man wasn't questioning. Lord? And then the fourth day came, and the fifth day came, and the sixth day came. And the wall, there was not even a crack in the wall. There was no sign of the wall coming down. And then on that seventh day, he got up and he said, Lord, this is the day you told me. And he said, Lord, I'm going to do it just like you told me to do it. He was submitted unto him. And when they marched around the wall 7 times, and then they began to blow the trumpet and make a shout, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. Because one man was submitted unto the Lord. But the people was submitted unto him. You got to have submission in your life. God doesn't want Rambos. We all like Rambo. God don't want Rambos. He don't need a desperado. He needs someone that will band together and fight with others and for others. You're not only submitted to your Creator, but submitted to your chairman. And may I say this to you today, it's not hard to follow a chairman when he's submitted. And you can see that the people had no problem following Joshua here. Joshua did exactly what Moses had said to him. Go to 17, verse number 10. Here's where that submission came in. And I'm moving on, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He didn't say, well, don't you think we ought to do it another way? Don't you think my way's better? Now, there's safety in the multitude of counsels. I understand that. But Joshua did just exactly as Moses said to him. And Joshua could do that because Joshua was submitted unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, you don't have a problem submitting and following directions that God gives you or other people give you in your life when you're submitted unto God. God never has and never will use a rebel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Submission. But not only was he submitted to his Creator, not only was he submitted to his chairman, but he was submitted to the cause. You say, what do you mean? Look here, verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had asked him and fought with Amalek. He was submitted to the cause. You say, what do you mean he was submitted to the cause? David came to the battle there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 29, and Eliab had just ridiculed him and rebuked him. His oldest brother had just ridiculed him and rebuked him for coming to see the battle. He said, "You've just come out here to see the battle." He said, "You've just come out here just to go back and tell your friends about what the battle is all about." And David looked at his eldest brother and he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" He said, "Is there not a reason that I ought to be willing to go fight?" I believe David said this. I believe he looked at Eliab and he said, "Reason number one, Eliab," he said, "this giant is defying my God." And the reason that you and I ought to be willing to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ is because the devil's out there doing everything he can to defy and make a mockery of our God. Is there not a cause? Number two, I believe he looked at Eliab and he said, "Eliab, is there not a cause? You're my older brother." He said, "You're my hero." How many brothers do you have?
Six.
You the baby? No, you're almost the baby. Next to the baby. Looked up to your eldest brother, didn't you? He was the hero of the family. Everybody wanted to grow up and be like him. And he looked at Eliab and he said, "Is there not a cause?" He says, "You're my hero. You're my older brother. And you're hiding behind the tree. You're hiding over here." He said, "I'm not just going to fight for me and my God." He says, "Eliab, I'm going to fight for you." I believe he looked out across the crowd and he said, "Eliab," he said, "you see all these other people over here?" He said, the Bible said this, that when, if you go back and you study that in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible said that when the Goliath came out and challenged the people of God, that the Bible says they were so afraid and they fled. He said, "Is there not a cause because this man is overrunning all of you and have you on the run? Got you in turmoil and has you in grief? Is there not a cause for me to be a soldier and to go fight?" Then he said this. He said, "Eliab," he said, "you remember them children you have back home?" "You remember all them babies? You remember all your nieces and nephews? You remember your neighbor's children? Is there not a cause?" He says, "If this giant wins, we're their slaves." That was the condition. Because Goliath said, "Send me out a man. If he beats me, we'll be your servants. But if I win, y'all are my servants." He said, "Is there not a cause?" Joshua was submitted to the cause. He was willing to go fight. Number one, he was willing to go fight because he was the Amalek was against God. Number two, he was willing to go fight because he was submitted to the one who told him to go fight. But number three, he was submitted to the cause of why he should go fight. I got a question. Is this one right here not worth fighting for? Think about your children and your grandchildren. Are they not worth doing right for? Are they not worth taking a stand for? Are they not worth fighting the enemy? Are they not worth pulling every bit of your life that they might have liberty and safety? Lord, let me be a soldier. I want to be successful in this life. But if I'm going to be successful, I have to be a soldier. I want to be submitted to the cause. And I'm closing right here. I ain't got time to finish it. I may finish part of it tonight. Listen to this one, number nine. Are you listening? Surrender was not an option. I carry a red handkerchief. I don't carry a white one. What does this mean? I give up.
Surrender wasn't an option.
Amen.
They were days. They were not days. That battle lasted a day, but you read there. I want to read it to you. I want to show you where I want to show you that surrender is not an option. Look here in verse number 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But at the end, the Bible says that Joshua discomfited Amalek when you get to the end of the story. You know why? He won the battle. Because surrender was not an option. It never crossed his mind to throw up the white flag and quit. Even though the enemy was prevailing, even though there were times in the battle that the enemy, it seemed that the enemy was winning, that they were overtaking Joshua and his soldiers, and there was carnage on each side, and people were being wounded, and Joshua said, "This is probably the end, but I'm still going to fight." Surrender was not an option that day. May I say unto you, child of God, surrender is not an option today. You got children, you got grandchildren, you got kids, you got friends, you got family members, you got neighbors. That if you quit, that if you give up, that if you throw the white flag of surrender, who's going to fight for? Surrender wasn't an option. May I say unto you today, surrender is not an option. The Bible said, endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'll go back to Brother Bobby and I'm closing. And he ain't shared a lot. I just glean a little bit, a few bits and pieces as he goes out and he tells me some things. He's in those foxholes, wasn't he?
Yes.
Let's be honest with you. How many times was it that you wished you were back home?
There's no telling.
No telling. Probably every night that he laid down. Those mortars flying over and those gunfire happening all around him. He told me a story about they could hear the enemy. They could hear the enemy there around them. That's probably enough to make a grown man cry. Guess what? Surrender was not an option. And if that battle at Vietnam was so important that these men give their life, think about this physically. This battle right here is so much more important. The battle for souls is so much more important. The battle for them two right there, so much more important. That one back there and that one back there. Surrender is not an option. Yeah, you're going to have to endure some hard times and you're going to have to endure some difficulties. And everything's not going to be the way that it seems. I can probably tell you that day that Joshua thought for sure, he said, "I thought of God. I've watched the Lord send manna. I've watched the Lord bring water out of the rock." And he says, I'm just being honest with you. I probably have the mindset of, okay, we're going to go down there in about 5 minutes. This thing's going to be over. Because we're God's side, right? Is that not our mindset? This thing's going to be over in just a few minutes. God's going to come in, send them all. I mean, about like the sons of Korah when God opened up the earth and he swallowed them all. Not that day. The Bible said they fought to the going down of the sun. Yeah, I imagine there was many times. Come on to the piano. There was many times that Joshua wanted to throw up the flag. Say, "Lord, I quit." Preacher, come here just a minute. You can bring it with you. I'll come carry it. Just stand right there just a minute. I imagine there were some men on the battlefield that day. Hold that up. There's some men on the battlefield that day that felt like that they needed to tuck tail and run. There's some men that thought, man, surely this is the end. I'm going to down. But they turned around and they seen some Joshua standing there with the sword swinging. That man right there, he'll whoop me. But that man right there encourages me. No matter how sick he is, how bad he feels, all he wants to do is come to church.
Amen.
All he wants to do is preach. He's enduring hardness as a good soldier. Every time I see him walk in with that oxygen on, you know what I see, Brother Terry? I don't see the white flag of surrender. I see a soldier with a sword in his hand saying, I still want to fight. I still want to fight. I still want to fight. Thank you, preacher, for not surrendering.
With me. I want to die on the battlefield.